Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We have about 15 minutes before Ask the Mayor, and for this little period of time, we're going to open up the phones for people who have quit your jobs during the pandemic. Why, in the face of so much uncertainty, did you decide to leave, and what are you doing now? 646-435-7280. According to a recent Microsoft survey, more than 40% of workers globally have been considering leaving their jobs in the past year. Are you one of the people who actually made that leap? 646-435-7280. Did you catch the recent article in the New York Times that was one of the inspirations for us doing this on the so-called YOLO economy? For those of you who don't know, YOLO, Y-O-L-O, stands for You Only Live Once. And reports are that millennials, especially after a year of Slack and Zoom burnout, are leaving their jobs in surprisingly large numbers, in some cases for completely different careers. Some have turned their side hustles into full-time gigs or heading back to school. And wondering if this is a millennial thing, did any of you in other age groups also do that? Who decided life is too short to be stuck at your current job, and how are you navigating this? What did you tell your parents? 646-435-7280. 646-435-7280. For anybody who quit your job during the pandemic while other people were losing theirs involuntarily. Another angle, if you're a person of color, did you quit your job because your employer didn't commit to racial justice in a way you felt was appropriate or sufficient? Maybe you left to become involved in a career that's more aligned with diversity and inclusion, or maybe you're striking out on your own to build a career that centers racial justice. 646-435-7280. And funny enough, recent reporting shows that many sectors are struggling to find employees right now, not just tech companies where there's always a shortage of that kind of training, but restaurants and trucking companies as well. We've taken calls on this from some restaurant owners. So if you're an industry that's hiring and you're not going back as a worker to that industry, what are you doing instead? Did you put your stimulus checks and extended unemployment toward your own change of life? 646-435-7280. We'll take your calls after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now to your calls. If you have quit your job during the pandemic, Chris in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Brian, how's it going?
Good. What job did you quit?
I was a teacher for 14 years, actually.
And did you quit because of pandemic teaching conditions or some other reason?
It was a combination of both. I have two young kids at home, and they're not of school age yet, but they were in a Montessori school, which closed. And my wife's a dentist, so when she reopened, it was nice to have the flexibility to, stay at home with the kids. Plus, in education, especially in Hudson County, there's a lot of politics that, end up kind of messing up the system for teachers and students. So, it was time for me to go.
So what are you going to do next?
I've actually been a real estate agent part-time for as long as I've been a teacher. So I shifted to doing that full-time, and with the flexibility I have doing that, it's been and the craziness of the market's been I'm one of the lucky ones.
How much has uncertainty over when your own kids are, allowed to be in person in school, and how much is just and maybe you chose full-time remote anyway, that's, it's up to you, but how much has the uncertainty about the status of schools affected your ability to work?
Yeah, like I said, for me, I'm one of the lucky ones, because actually in September, the school they attended, it's a little Montessori school, it's a private school, so they've been open full-time
I see.
In person. So So, you know, but they're there 3 days a week. But next year, my son is going to be eligible for his school in my town, and and I'm not sure if they're going to be remote or not, but if they're remote, that's going to be certainly an issue. I might opt to send them back to the private school for one more year.
Chris, thank you very much. And that raises a whole other set of issues about parents, but that's for another call in. And Monty on the Upper West Side, you're on WNYC. Hi, Monty.
Hey, good morning, Brian. I was followed sometime last year, like around March. Then I stayed home and I decided basically to day trade. And I was making so much money that I was no longer looking for a job. And even my boss, my company, called me back, and I decided not to go back because I was making more than twice my salary, working only a couple of hours per day.
Did you buy GameStop?
No, I didn't trade games. I traded really mainly the pharmaceutical, like the one coming with like Novavax, like Moderna, things like that, when they were working on vaccine, and
Smart.
They shot through the roof. Several technology companies shot through the roof. Companies that are really directly related to the pandemic, like Peloton, like Beyond, the biggest one is really Amazon. Unfortunately, this year things are not working. Now the stock market is yo-yoing. Before, you buy and you keep it, or you can go out and come back. You made several thousand dollars. Now you have to keep your eyes on the screen because it's really flip-flopping. It's yo-yoing. I'll give you an example. Today, Amazon came with excellent earning. It opened up, then it went negative, then went up, then down. So nothing is sure now anymore. Maybe I have to go back and look for a job now.
Monty, thank you. What a story. Thank you very much. Emily and Roselle Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Brian. Wow, this is so cool. I love your show. Basically, I want to say that I was employed at a building supply company, supplying windows, doors, that kind of stuff for contractors and everything. And I started right before the pandemic, so I actually had to take about 2 months off just because there wasn't enough business at the time once the whole lockdown in New Jersey started and everything. But after those 2 months, I came back and I stayed with the company for probably 6 months or so. And it was really a struggle because I have a one-year-old and I could not find childcare for her anywhere. Not even like with family, because the only family member that could take care of her was homeschooling four kids. So I quit my job at the building supply company to become an Instacart shopper, which has actually been great because I just take my daughter with me every single day. And it's worked out really well to give us.
Oh, you can take a one-year-old with you. So like, you're one of those people who goes into a store and you're communicating like by text message or something with the person who wants the delivery of their groceries. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know, they don't have the turkey. Will you take chicken? That kind of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I take my own car, pick up whichever orders I want. And, you know, if we're having a rough day and she needs to just nap or or whatever, like I can take the time to go do those things, you know. It's just like complete flexibility, and it's been really great.
Can you make a living, a decent living, as an Instacart shopper?
Believe it or not, this has been significantly more profitable than my job with the building supply company. I do this basically full time. But I've gotten pretty fast, and so I would say I average about $20 an hour, which is pretty decent for us.
Emily, thank you very much. Good luck out there. We're going to go next to, where were we going? George in Ditmas Park. You're on WNYC. Hi, George.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I quit my second job. So I'm a library worker full-time, but I also was doing part-time as a home health aide for a 90-year-old woman with dementia, and I was a live-in, so it was like an exchange for housing. I worked there, but then everything kind of got turned upside down when the pandemic started, and I was working more like full-time, and I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't see anyone because she was a vulnerable person, the woman I was living with.
Yeah.
And it just became much too difficult and like a totally different kind of thing. And so after a few months, my partner and I decided to move in together. And so I moved out. And that was just really lucky and wonderful to be able to change that. But also it was very sad and weird to leave after having lived with a woman for 2 years and not really getting to say goodbye or to visit after. So now that we're both vaccinated, I'm looking forward to like seeing her again. Even though she won't remember me, but I have lots of good memories from my years there.
How fraught was it at the beginning of the pandemic to be a home health aide? I know people who died, for one thing, and I know others who, you know, whether they were the client or whether they were the aide, they both wanted to keep the professional relationship going. Sometimes the elderly person really needed the aid just to get through their day, but so much fear.
Yeah, it was really scary and very difficult. I mean, so we cut back the number of people who were helping her. So it was like a whole crew of us that would help her. You know, she can afford that. Her family can afford that care. So if she's lucky in that way. And so she's safe because she lives on her own, but and with us. But so it was, we cut down to a small group, and so we were just suddenly so overworked, and we're so scared because it was like, even if you, I didn't leave the house but to go for a small walk where I'd like walk in the middle of the street to avoid anybody because I just thought, you know, if I even touch a doorknob, I could bring it back into the house. So it was really scary for those months, especially those like first 3 months of the pandemic. We just were basically totally isolated with her.
George, thank you for your call, and I hope everything works out for you. And yeah, I mean, we frame this segment as who left this job because of YOLO, you only live once, to kind of pursue your passions. But we know that people are also leaving careers, not just as home health aides, also in other kinds of health care, in teaching. We had a teacher call in journalism because of how stressful and even traumatic this year has been. So that's another motivation for people leaving their jobs voluntarily. Cecilia in Fort Greene, you're on WNYC.
Yes.
Hi, Cecilia.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. So I'm leaving. I'm not a millennial. I'm in my late 50s, and I'm leaving a really fantastic job. I run the Brooklyn Community Foundation. I'm the CEO, and I've been there 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a very, very busy year with COVID, raising money and distributing money to support Brooklynites during the pandemic. And I decided to leave the foundation, and I'm going to go back to school and get my master's in social work, which is kind of a long-standing dream for me.
Are you going to become a certain kind of social worker? I know social workers do many things.
Yes, good question. I'm interested in clinical social work. I've always had an interest in psychotherapy and psychoanalysis. So I'm actually going to NYU, which has a great clinical program.
And you don't have to reveal your salary, but you're a CEO, as you described it, and I realize of a not-for-profit foundation, but social workers don't make a lot of money. Are you choosing to be downwardly mobile?
I am choosing to be downwardly mobile, and I understand there's some risk there, but that's why I think these life decisions are, they're not, you know, 100%, and I thought very hard about it, and I was willing to make that change and take the risk.
And the pandemic inspired you to do it because of doing something even more meaningful than what you were doing, which sounds like it was already meaningful.
Yeah, I wouldn't say actually more meaningful, just different. The last year was actually all my 8 years at the foundation have been meaningful, to be honest. But I work very much at a community level or a systemic level, and I really wanted to also see what has changed like on an individual level.
Cecilia, good luck. Thank you so much for calling in. Sarah in Greenpoint, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Brian, thank you for taking my call. So I was furloughed pretty early on in the pandemic. I'm a young woman of color in the workforce, and we all know how we're being disproportionately affected. But I had some really good unemployment benefits, and it was honestly pretty eye-opening. So when I got a call back to return to my job, I did not return. I realized it was creating a lot of stress in my life, and it just wasn't really worth it to me anymore. So I did find a new job. It's at a much better place, and it meets my needs way better, and it's way more chill. So I'm pretty happy.
Is it in the same industry, interior design?
It's in the exact same industry, yes.
Yeah. So that's a relatively small change compared to what some other people have been describing, but that's even that, right? If the pandemic kind of put more top of mind the dissatisfactions that you had with a particular job, even if you stayed in the same field, then you sort of learned something from it, it sounds like.
Yeah, definitely. It was really eye-opening, and it was a really nice like time to reflect on that. So there was a bright side to the whole situation, I'd say.
Sarah, good luck. And good luck to all of you who have been changing jobs voluntarily during the pandemic. Surprising number of people, the statistics reveal, have been leaving their jobs, even while others have been furloughed or laid off involuntarily. And, you know, all these crises, if depending on your age, what you've lived through, there were similar conversations after 9/11, people looking at the meaning of their lives and changing careers as a result in a way they wouldn't have. It happened again in the financial crisis, the Great Recession, even for people who didn't lose their jobs voluntarily. And this is one of those other huge life events that affects everybody, but then makes us look at our lives individually as well. So thank you for your calls on that.